So it's about 6:30, cold Tuesday evening in Dublin. It's heading down below zero, and there's in the region of 50 people gathered outside the Shell headquarters here to protest the jailing of fisherman Pat O'Donnell. He's been jailed as part of the ongoing resistance to Shell's attempt to impose an experimental gas pipeline on the community of Rossport and the surrounding communities in Erris County, Mayo. And Pat's just been given a 7-month sentence. Okay, so we're outside Shell headquarters on a cold Tuesday night. Cuiva, do you want to tell me why we're here?
We're here tonight to protest in solidarity with Pat O'Donnell, sometimes better known as the Chief. He's a local fisherman from Mayo who was imprisoned for 7 months last week. And the main reason for tonight's protest is to basically show support with him and demand justice for him.
And that's one of a whole sequence of court cases that have been going on over the last 2 months. What, about 40 people altogether have been up?
Probably a little bit more. I mean, we had 30 different people up last week alone. So what you're seeing is the very blatant and clear criminalisation of a community for standing up in opposition to something happening in their local area. Pat O'Donnell is obviously an example of how selective justice has been applied down there. He was attacked at sea over the summer months for being basically in Shell's way when they were trying to lay the pipeline. He was attacked at sea by four masked men, held at gunpoint, his boat was sunk and he was left to drown. There have been absolutely no arrests made over that. In fact, the Gardaí have done extremely weak investigations into it, and yet we see him being given huge penalties for very minor public order offences and being sent to prison for 7 months. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw a comment on, I think, IndyMedia during the week. The Garda had announced they were going to investigate the sinking of the boat, and somebody said that, you know, after the 6-month head start they'd given the guys who did it, they might be a little bit hard to catch.
Yeah, well, I mean, even on the night itself, I mean, Pat sent out Mayday calls. Himself and his crewmen were rescued by the lifeboat. It was known that he'd been attacked at sea, and yet nobody went to any of the ports to see and try and find out where there's people landing, four men on a boat trying to land anywhere up along the coast. I mean, the Gardaí had never had any interest in it, and to be quite honest, you know, at this stage, you know, if you do absolutely no investigations into such serious crimes at sea, you would have to wonder what the reason behind that is.
One of the interesting aspects of the court cases last week was the judge making comments about being concerned about private armies running around the area.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's yet another example, really, of how the media have been very slack in supporting Shell and in ignoring the facts of the case. I mean, those comments about private armies and about military surveillance operations, the judge actually made those in relation to IRMS, which is Shell's security firm down there, not to the protest, not about the protesters specifically, but what the media picked it up as was that it had been said about Shell to sea, and everything has been twisted around. I mean, this is smear tactics that we've seen being done, you know, across the board and for the whole of the time. And, you know, the whole of the campaign. So,
what's the expectation now in terms of timeline and what's going to be happening next?
Interestingly enough, Shell are planning to do a large amount of work in Broadhaven Bay now in the next few coming months. Obviously, this is just the mildest bit suspect, considering the main person who was in their way for that, Pat O'Donnell, has now been sent to prison. So obviously, we'd be keeping a very close eye on what's happening there. We recently had the On Board Panala decision in November, which basically vindicated everything the campaign has been saying, that this pipeline isn't in fact safe. And Shell have asked for more time to reply to that. They were supposed to get back to On Board Panala by the 5th of February, and they've asked for time basically until May. So what we'll be looking at is basically looking at what type of work Shell are doing in the area. Are they legal? Because so many of their works haven't been legal. And basically keeping an eye out on what exactly they plan to be doing and then taking it from there.
Fintan O'Toole had a reasonable article in the Times today, I think, sort of highlighting the fact that, yeah, the Port Panola decision essentially admitted the pipeline is quite dangerous. And I think the interesting line in it was the one where he said that the locals, therefore, it wasn't just a question of having a right to protest, but actually a duty to protest. So I mean, it's a very interesting thing to be saying at the time of the these jailings happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be something we would all consider as well. I mean, people do have a duty to protest and they know that something extremely unsafe or something extremely unjust is happening in their local area, particularly when, I mean, people tried all of the state processes to try and have this stopped. They were ignored at every turn, and you know, it's, I mean, when you consider I mean, you have that at a community level, and then at the national level with the state, the country's in economically at the moment, the giveaway of 420 billion euros worth of oil and gas just seems so ludicrous, you know, when you're comparing that. Yeah, I mean, people do have a duty to stand up really at that stage. I mean, how far do you let things go before you yourself stand, you know? So yeah.
And the other wider issue, which there's still not that much media discussion on, is the whole nature of the oil and gas giveaway. I mean, we're talking about 420 billion, you know, in terms of national reserves or whatever that have been given away to energy corporations for practically nothing. Do you see any more attention coming on that in the future? Or?
Yeah, I mean, in the last year, to be fair, there has been a bit of a breakthrough in that in the media. Up till the last year, that had been widely ignored by the mainstream media, and still it's not something that's been picked up. I mean, again, in Fintan O'Toole's article, one of his comments is about how the state had worked to fix that for future, when actually that, in fact, isn't true. Still, we have no royalties whatsoever for our oil and gas reserves, and they are huge. I mean, 420 billion euro is a low estimation. Well, that sounds like a very large amount of money. I mean, in actual fact, it sounds like an incredible amount of money. That's actually quite a low estimation. It covers the West Coast waters alone. I mean, and when you're taking that we have gas finds inland at Loch Allen, for example, that are nine times the size of the Corrib gas field alone, I mean, you're talking enormous amounts of money. And yet, as a country, we have absolutely no royalties from that, and we have no security of supply. And that's something that the government has actually been quite blatant and lying about. A lot of people are under the impression that when the Corrib gas, that if the Corrib gas came ashore in the current format, that at least Ireland would have security supply. We would have a definite supply of gas. It's not true. There are three pipes interconnecting between Ireland and the UK. Let's not forget that Royal Dutch Shell are, in fact, a British-Dutch company. And the simple fact of the matter is, we can just pipe the gas out. We'll have to bid for it on the international market at full market price. There's absolutely no guarantee that Ireland will get security of supply out of that gas at all. That's up to us hoping that Shell will be nice to us, which in past experiences, you know, it's not looking too good.
Yeah, and I think one of the things people don't realise is that, in fact, the terms that we're allowing this to be exploited at, it's far worse than nearly every other country in the world. I mean, I think people sort of see the figures and they go, well, that's typical of the way this works, but they're actually right at the very bottom of the kind of league tables in terms of what countries get to expect back.
Yeah, no, I mean, what we have is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, even Mike Cunningham is one of the former directors of Statoil, who are obviously one of the partners in the Corrib gas project. Even he himself has come out and said that there's no country in the world that gives such favourable terms, you know, to oil and gas companies such as Ireland, than Ireland does. In one of the international studies that was done quite recently, Cameroon was the only country in the world that had worse terms than us. Countries like Nigeria and stuff completely, you know, surpass us in what their, you know, country technically is getting back from their oil and gas. And then when you look at our European partners, I mean, we're being completely and utterly fleeced.
I can't remember the exact figures, but Iraq recently reached an agreement with oil companies about extraction. Their agreement was something like they're going to pay the companies, I think, $1.60 per barrel that's extracted. So, you know, it's like a completely magnitudes difference. And I mean, that's a country that's been invaded and occupied by a foreign army. So this deal has been sorted out in that sort of context.
Yeah, and I mean, countries all over the world, like you have countries like in Venezuela and stuff, in Russia you had, you know, when they moved to start nationalising the gas, the oil and gas reserves, you know, everyone internationally said, oh, you know, all the big companies are going to move out, Shell's going to move out of your countries, you're not going to be able to take the oil and gas out, which all turned out to be complete and utter rubbish. Shell threw their hissy fits and then stayed anyway, you know. So, I mean, internationally, the practice has shown that, yeah, while people might get a little bit irritated that you're affecting their profit margin, in fact, they will stay, you know, and that they will continue to extract the gas and get far better terms, you know, for the local countries. So,
all right, well, thanks.
No problem.
The main protest was happening on Leeson Street, which was pretty noisy because of the amount of traffic there in the evenings. So myself and Quiver popped around the corner and went into the porch of the Shell building on Adelaide Road, just beside it. We'd no sooner gone there than we had one uniformed cop following us in, and then within a minute or two, about four special branch men. About midway through the interview, she gestures behind and I have a look around, and the security guard in the lobby has a huge picture of us up on the screen in front of him. That's coming from one of the very expensive expensive-looking cameras that festooned the building. Now, this actually made me a little bit curious about the building itself, so when I went back around to Adelaide Road, I asked one of the other protesters what they made about the look of it.
We just noticed, it's kind of strange. You've got this quite big building that Shell own here, and we've got all these fancy cameras and stuff on it.
Yeah,
but there's two obvious things missing. It doesn't say Shell anywhere on it, and it doesn't have the Shell logo. Isn't that kind of strange?
I don't know. I'd say it's probably because they could foresee at some stage that their tactics would be unpopular in terms of trying to run a highly dangerous pipeline up through the middle of a bay or into a really remote area. So, I mean, you know, there's a case in New York about what they did to the Ogoni tribe in Nigeria. I mean, these people, they don't need to advertise. It's just like if the CIA set up a building in Dublin, would they put CIA on the front of it? No, I don't think so. These people buy private armies and mercenaries, so I don't think they're really interested in advertising themselves or advertising the kind of business that they're into.
The audio you've just been listening to was recorded February 2010 outside the Shell headquarters in Leeson Street in Dublin. You'll find more information on the struggle to send Shell to sea at www.dublin.s2s.com. This audio was recorded and edited by Andrew. You'll find more audio recordings I've done over the last couple of years at anarchism.pageabode.com/cat/audio.